Brother Micah, Sister Amy, Brother Dawson being with us today. He's going to come. He's going to minister the word of the Lord.
Whiteland, and it's good to see a lot of familiar faces and a lot of new faces, and I'm glad to see that God is doing great things here at BBA, and it's a privilege and an honor to step behind this podium and minister to this great congregation. Because I know that there's no shortage of great preaching and great teaching in this church because of your fine pastor. And there's nothing more that I could say than that hasn't already been said. But I do thank God for men like Pastor Biddle and his family. And I think it'd be appropriate to just give them one more hand of applause. Some of the unselfish things that he has done, and one of them was mentioned that he put the highest bid on some of the product at the bake sale, and I leaned over, I said, "You just wanted the sweets, didn't you?" Masked it as a sacrifice. That was just an excuse for Sister Biddle, be like, "Hey, it's for a good cause, you know." I'm like, "Hey, honey, no more sweets. Listen, this is for a good cause. I'm just trying to help out the body of Christ here. So can you hand me another slice of that banana nut bread?" It's good to have my family with me. And again, it's just an honor to be here. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to direct your attention to the book of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting with verse 5, says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Aren't you glad you got a God that knows what he's going to do? There's things that I believe that God wants to do and will do that we ain't even dreamed that he would do. So the last thing that they expected, you could tell by his response. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, everyone said, "When they were filled," he said unto his disciples, "Gather up." "Gather up the fragments," watch, that remain there, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. When God does something, He always overdoes it. But let me tell you, here's the kicker. We're responsible for the leftovers. I want to talk to you on this thought, leftovers from a miracle. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we love you. We ask you, Lord, to bless this service. Anoint this word, God, that goes forth. Anoint the hearts. Open their ears. Open their hearts. Open their spirits. God, allow me to deposit into their spirits a word, God, that's going to encourage them, God, not only for this service, but in the days after this service and in their future and the days that are ahead, God, we ask you, Lord, to bless, God, each and every life. God, let them understand, God, what your Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And everybody said amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. If there's one thing that I remember, and here we are, it's October. We're embarking upon another holiday season. And men, if your wife is anything like my wife, Christmas to her is just around the corner, literally. No, not 2 months away, two days away. Come November, our house is going to look like winter wonderland. It just keeps getting earlier every year. Before we know it, it's going to be March, and she's going to be setting up for Christmas. Like, man, you haven't taken your decorations down? No, this is for this year. There's one thing that I can remember about the holidays growing up, and I'm sure everyone in here will probably relate to what I'm going to say and can relate to the way I grew up. But man, I'm telling you what, now I never had want for anything growing up. I always had a great meal, but normally it's a 3-course meal, you know, mashed potatoes, green beans, and a meat, and maybe some bread and butter. For those of you who live in the South, bread and butter, you know. But the holidays, man, were much different. Yeah, I mean, there was never a shortage of any food, typically, even on a normal day, on a normal day of the week that mom fixed dinner. There was never a shortage of anything. But man, when the holidays came, Thanksgiving, Christmas, it was like just a spread like no other. I mean, it wasn't just 2 sides. There was like 15 sides. There was not just a pie baking in the oven, but there was like 20 desserts. And it was just like, take your pick. And it wasn't just a ham. It was a ham and a turkey. And there was just all this food. And I don't know about you, but on this matter, but I was always just proud of my mom's cooking. I just loved my mom's cooking. And of course, I had to learn the hard way when I got married not to dwell too much on mama's cooking, you know, how mom did it. You know, that you don't want to say as a new married person, this is how mom did. No. He said, smart man. I said, yeah, smart now, but I wasn't that smart back then. But I always was proud of my mom's cooking. And so there was so much around the holidays that I remember. There was no way that we could eat all of it. It was just, you know, I know as big as I am, I look like I could, you know, eat a 32-ounce steak. But I really, you know, there's a limit, you know. But around the holidays, it was just so much food that We always, always had leftovers. How many know what I'm talking about? You had just a ton of leftovers. I mean, it wasn't Thanksgiving Day. We were eating on that Thanksgiving week. I mean, you know what I mean? It was like 2 or 3 days later. Is there any of those mashed potatoes left? And I loved, my mom used to make ham gravy. Oh, I see it. No. You don't know what you're missing, Sister Alexa. You don't know. Until you had ham gravy with mashed potatoes dipping a hot yeast roll with butter. I know I'm standing in between you and lunch right now, but just, it's going to be a long sermon. It's going to seem like it anyway, making y'all hungry. But I just love the holidays, but I never forget how much food was always left over, and we would be eating on it later that night, but well after the original meal, we would be eating on those leftovers, and sometimes we would have so much that my mother would often say to me, she said, "Micah, would you?" You know, we lived on a really small street in a really small town. Everybody knew everybody. And there would be an elderly woman down the street who didn't really have a lot of family. And she would say, "Will you take this to Mrs. So-and-so? I think she would appreciate, you know, maybe this would provide her a meal." And so she would fix a plate. And she said, "Would you take this down?" And I would, man. I'd proudly march down because I loved my mom's cooking and I wanted to show my mom's cooking off, you know. So I would march down and be like, "Yeah, sure, I'll take it down." And I'd be like, "Yeah, you ain't never had cooking like this in all of your life, you know." But we would always either, we would be eating on it later or we would be giving it to somebody who wasn't there at the meal. So it got me to thinking, because Jesus performs this miracle. Now there's about 5,000, that's a conservative number because it was just counting men. It didn't count women and children. But he had taken this boy's small lunch, which I researched what would it have typically fed, 2 fish and 5 small loaves, and it said maybe one person, possibly just a small group. And so Jesus takes this meal that's possibly just enough for one person and he feeds the whole bunch. And when it was all said and done, he looks at him and he says, "Now listen, I need you to gather up the fragments that nothing remain lost." Because I know that I just performed the great miracle, but you're responsible for what you can't consume right now. It makes me wonder what they did with the fragments. I mean, I know that they didn't just go toss them in the trash, because he said nothing should remain lost. You need to get all the use out of what I just did for you. And I know that it's more than you can take right now, but you got to be responsible for the fragments that's left over. I could just see him walking away from that meeting going, "I'll tell you this, I'm stuffed right now, but I know tomorrow I'm going to be hungry again. And I'm going to reach back into a basket and pull out some leftover." Let me tell you something. God is not going to do what he's going to do for today. He's going to do today for you tomorrow. Come on, somebody. We're responsible for the overabundance of mercy and grace and forgiveness that we receive now. Come on, you know God has given you more forgiveness than you can even handle. And more mercy has been bestowed upon you than you'll ever need.
My question is this to you. Are you going to forget about the fragments? Because there will be fragments. Because God always provides more than what you need. I'm wondering how many people that God will let us encounter. Some drug addict, some person that, hey, you know what? I know it's a challenge to get people to the house of God. I understand that. We should try to get them to the, it says beckon them to come in. I understand that. And that's a challenge sometimes. And we may not always succeed at getting them to the house of God. But I'll tell you what you can determine to do. You can determine to take one of those baskets with you. Say, let me tell you something. I know you weren't at church Sunday. I know you didn't feel what I felt last night. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to reach back into a basket and give you some leftovers. I've got some fragments. I've got more forgiveness than what I'll ever need in my life. I'm going to extend that now to you. Come on, everybody knows. You could even self-reflect. Maybe you just know somebody, a situation that God is needing to provide victory in somebody's life for, and I believe he'll do it today. I believe somebody's going to get victory. But let me tell you something. They're not just going to get enough victory for themselves. They're going to get enough victory that they have fragments running over. They're going to have baskets that they can carry out of this place and give it to somebody else. Because you're responsible for the overabundance of what God does today in this meeting. I'm sick and tired of people coming into the church and just getting just enough to satisfy their longing in the moment. God doesn't just give you enough to satisfy your longing in the moment. I promise you, there will be baskets of fragments that you're responsible for. It's the leftovers of his mighty, miraculous work. David obviously did not feel like some of us feel, where we're just content by getting just enough to get by. When David obviously didn't feel this way when he wrote in the 23rd Psalm, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over." I'll say it again. My cup runneth over. Have you ever been to one of those, you know, soda fountain machines, and you leave it on there too long because the fizz is coming up, and it just comes up over the cup, right? It just overtakes. You left it under there too long. Because there's a difference between being filled and being running over. Because filled just affects your vessel. But I'm telling you, when something starts running over, it starts affecting everything. You may not get them here, but you can reach into your basket of leftovers and have something that's running over that will affect. Come on, somebody. You need... Come on, we don't just need to get enough of God to fill us right now. We need to say, hey, pour up on me something that is going to run over and over in abundance of what I can even contain. In Acts 2, the Holy Ghost fell. When it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, You look it up. That word filled means to be soaked. Saturate. Soaked. That's another, when you take some kind of cloth, let's say a washcloth, and you run it under some running water, and it gets, obviously, it's going to get wet. But if you leave it under there long enough, it's going to get not just wet, it's going to get soaked. Because when it gets wet, it's absorbing the water that it itself is able to absorb. But when it gets soaked, water starts running off of that piece of cloth because there's more liquid than what that piece of fabric can hold. You didn't hear what I just said. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled or soaked. I'm not satisfied with just getting a little wet. I need to be soaked with the Spirit. I need to be so soaked that it's running. You ever had to carry a soaked rag across the room? I mean, you're trying to get it over. It's just dripping everywhere. You got to mop the floor because that soaked rag is just dripping in water everywhere. That's the way we ought to be on our job. We don't just need to have the Spirit for ourselves. We need to... Why? Because you never know who's counting on your leftovers. You don't know who you're going to run into that has no hope. You have no idea who you're going to run into who just needs a little mercy extended. You never know who you're going to run into that just needs a little forgiveness extended to them. Just a little bit of something. See, they missed the miracle. The Bible says there was 5,000. I know, it was conservative. There was a lot more. But let me tell you something. It does not tell us how many people wasn't there. See, they missed the miracle. But that's not the end of the story for them. If you were cognizant enough to do what the master said and just pick up those leftovers, take a basket with you. Take a basket of mercy to somebody. Take a basket of forgiveness to somebody. Come on, you know God's given you more than you can even contain and more than you deserve and more than you'll ever use. You'll never use all the mercy that He's poured out on you, but you are responsible for the fragments that's left over so that you can reach back into one of those baskets and say, hey, I know you weren't there when Pastor preached that wonderful message, but I got a nugget from it that I want to bring to you. I've got a nugget of it. I'm reaching back into my basket and I'm giving you something because you missed it. We wouldn't have to beg people to come into our doors if we were responsible enough with the leftovers. Because I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I took somebody some leftovers and they're like, my goodness, this was so good, young man. Thank you. I'm going to have to come to your house for dinner one day. Stop begging them to come to church and take them some leftovers and make them want to be here. I said, make them want to be here. I'm going to tell you what's going to make them want to be here. When a church is responsible enough to take the extra baskets of fragments to a lost and dying world.
Oh, Lord. John 8 and 37 through 39 talks about he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, what's it say, shall flow. Let me tell you something. You cannot have an outflow unless you've had an inflow. The emphasis, we always talking about getting filled with the Spirit, and that's absolutely of necessity, okay? But out of his belly, Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow. With every inflow, he goes, what I'm really wanting is an outflow. All that's required for the inflow is just repentance and belief. But the outflow comes only on he that believeth on him as the scripture hath said. If you study that out, it means a continual belief. That means I don't just get fed here. I spend time and feed myself at home. There's a continual. That it's not enough for the inflow. Jesus said it's all about the outflow, because not everybody's going to be present at the time of the miracle. You've got to have somebody that has some access to some leftovers to give to somebody. Wouldn't you stand in the house of the Lord? I'm not gonna labor on. I'm reaching to somebody today that says, when I leave here, I'm sick and tired of leaving. Just enough filled to the top. Let me tell you something. Life will burn that out. You'll get through life. You'll start feeling depleted if you walk out just barely enough. Well, I'm satisfied for today. I'm just going to leave now because I felt the goosebumps of the Holy Ghost and I felt God move on me, and I'm just going to walk out and I'll be back next Sunday. And Jesus is looking around, and there's fragments laying on the ground, and there's empty baskets laying. And he goes, no, you missed the point. Don't leave without taking the fragments with you. You're not responsible for feeding the 5,000. You can leave that up to him. But once he produces, and once God comes through for you, you're responsible for the leftovers. You're responsible for those fragments that are above and beyond what you yourself can contain. So I'm asking everyone this question today: are you going to leave leftovers on the ground? Are you going to leave fragments, carelessly just walk away from the fragments when God has poured out more than you'll ever use? More forgiveness, he's given you more victory, more mercy, more miracles. We've got more preaching. There's somebody out there
miss the whole event. No hope on the end of their rope. How many people's counting on somebody to leave this service with a little reserve? See, it's easy to leave. It's easy to leave without with your hands free when you're already satisfied. But it takes a little work to grab those baskets. Say, come on, boys. Let's grab these baskets and fill them up so that nothing is wasted. I won't be held accountable for wasted mercy. God's given me more than I need. The only thing that I can do is grant that mercy to somebody else. But it'll only happen if I'm mindful of the leftovers. Why don't we come to this altar as the music begins to play? Come on, somebody. I'm not just inviting you up to this altar to get filled. I'm inviting you to this altar so that when He fills you, that you pray, God, help me to be mindful of the leftovers. Help me to be mindful of the fragments that's laying on the ground so that nothing be lost and nothing go to waste.